Amen. Take your Bibles out this morning, if you would, and open them to the book of John, John's Gospel, 15th chapter. And you can, if you want to, put your finger there and then flip back to Galatians chapter 5. We are going to look one more time today at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to try to pull everything together. And I want to begin this morning by asking you this question. What is the goal of your life? Okay, what is the goal of your life? What are you trying to accomplish? What would you be able to, you know, to look at and say, okay, I've done it, I've accomplished it, right? And so, you know, if you kind of back up a little bit and think about it, well, so if I'm a parent and I have children and I have some goals for these children, one of them is that they grow up and, you know, make it to, you know, adulthood. Hopefully they're going to live to adulthood. And sometimes, you know, that's a little questionable on our part. And then, and I want them to be educated. And so I'm going to make sure they go to school and they learn, you know, all the things that they need to learn. Basically, you know, what we as parents desire for our children is they have the ability to grow up and become successful adults, right? And so if you think about it, if we were to talk about the goal of life or the goal of my life, the goal of living would be, I mean, for some of us, I think we would have to say we want to be successful. Now, the question is, what exactly is success? And of course, you know, if we measure success according to the rubric of the, you know, of the world in which we live or our culture, that means, you know, to have money, right? So that we can do the things we want to do. You know, maybe have a house, a car, you know, a good job, you know, those type of things. I mean, you know, there may be a whole lot of different things that run into, you know, this business of success. What does it mean to be successful? But the second question that I would ask you would be this: Does that change? Does the goal of your life change at all when you come to faith in Christ? Okay, so if the goal of an average life, typically, if my goal would be successful, however I measure that or however I look at it, does that change at all when I say, okay, Lord, here's my life, I give it to you, I trust you with my life, I give you my life, you take it, you come to live within me, does the goal of my life change? And somebody might say, well, Brother Greg, doesn't God want us to be successful? Right? I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Well, the answer is no. Do you know that God really is not into your success? Or God does not say, in fact, there's no place in the Scripture where God says, my heart's desire for you is that you be a success in this world. Interestingly enough. And a lot of times, you know, that's our goal. That's not necessarily God's goal. In fact, let me tell you exactly what God has to say about it. The verse that I'd like to point out to you is in John, that 15th chapter of John, down in verse 8. And the Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he says, my Father is glorified in this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. That you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Do you know what God's goal for your life is? It's not to be successful, it's to be fruitful. And not just to be fruitful in a little bit, but to be fruitful in a lot, okay? So God's purpose, God's desire, when he saves you, when he comes to live within your heart and life, is his desire is to make a fruitful child of God out of you. And so what God says is, when I save you, I'm going to put my Spirit to work within your life, and the Spirit of God is going to produce fruit in your life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want us to think for just a second about that fruit, because, again, there's a tendency on our part, I think, on a lot of our part as Christians, when we've been Christians for a while, to think that the fruit that is produced by our life is other Christians, okay? So If I can point to someone and say they came to faith in Christ because of my testimony, okay, that's my fruit. So that if I share the Lord with somebody or I share the gospel and I lead them, you know, to faith in Christ, then I can say that's the fruit of my life. But I want you to understand something, folks, that nowhere again in the scripture does it say that the fruit of your life is other souls or souls being saved. Now, that doesn't mean that God is not going to use you as a child of God when He's producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life to be winsome. That doesn't mean that He is not going to draw other people to Himself, maybe through your witness or through your testimony. It just means that is not necessarily the goal of God. The goal of God in your life is to produce fruit, and then one of the byproducts certainly may be other souls. For example, I love apples, okay? And I'll eat almost an apple a day. I go by the, you know, apple a day keeps the doctor away type thing. And you know, when you cut into an apple, and the apple is a fruit, right? The apple is produced on a tree. You cut into the apple, on the inside, there's something called seeds. Now, what are those seeds? Those seeds are a byproduct of the fruit, or they're produced in the fruit. And those seeds can be used to make other trees, right? Other tree. Now I'm not positive if we still make apple trees from apple seeds, but I know that back in the day that happened because when I was a kid, I read a story of a dude named Johnny Appleseed, right? And he went around, you know, pitching apple seeds around, and now there's a whole bunch of apple trees all over the place because of Johnny Appleseed. And you know, if you think about it, in the seed of an apple, there may be a million apples, maybe a billion. I mean, think about it, because if one seed could grow a tree, right, you plant it, it becomes a tree, and then that tree produces apples. In each one of those apples, there are seeds, and man, this thing could keep on going. You could have billions, trillions of apples. In fact, maybe all the apples in the world, I don't know, came from one, you know, tiny seed. Right? Did the apple come first or the seed come first? I don't know. But you understand, I mean, the fruit really is the goal of the tree. One of the outworkings of that is seeds that actually produce, you know, more apples. So I want you to understand, when I ask, what is the goal of your life and does that change when I become a child of God? And God says, I'm not really interested in you becoming successful. Not that success is a bad thing at all. And maybe you are successful, I don't know, in the world's eyes. But God is ultimately concerned about your fruitfulness. And that is not just winning other people to Jesus, although that's an outflow of it. What He wants to do is produce this thing that the Apostle Paul referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. It's found in Galatians chapter 5. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. And then he goes on to say, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. And so there's the fruit. Okay, so God says, when I save you, I'm going to put my Spirit to work in your heart, in your life, to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, over these summer weeks, so for the last 9 weeks, now this is week 10, what I've done is I've just taken each one of those aspects of the fruit. So there's one fruit, 9 parts or 9 flavors. And what I've done is just kind of worked my way through each one of those. And my heart's desire in these sermons has been that, first of all, we would understand what God's trying to do in our life, so we would understand that this fruit is vital and it's necessary and it's what God wants to produce within us, but then also that we might desire it, right? Because I think that part of our problem as Christians sometimes is we see everybody else acting ugly, so we start acting ugly and we just don't think anything about it. So if I don't act in a loving way towards someone, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is God says, I want to produce love in your life, right? So when I'm not kind, when I'm unkind, I might have a tendency to say, well, I'm living in an unkind world. True, but God says, I want to put my Spirit to work in your life to produce kindness. So the fruit of the Spirit is something that God says, I'm going to do, and I'm going to keep up. Nothing's going to stop me in this. There's no law against this. That is, there's nothing to stop it. And so as we understand the fruit of the Spirit and we understand how vital it is for us, maybe we, you know, would desire it as well. And so that's been my purpose over these last 9 weeks and just kind of laying the fruit of the Spirit out before you. Today, I want to go from what the Spirit is to how. Okay? So the question this morning is how. How does this happen in my life, or how do I, you know, get in on this thing? So if I examine my life and I'm not really seeing those things that God says He's going to produce within me. I mean, if I'm honest about it and I really don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, maybe I've got a little bit here and a little bit there, but that really is not, those things don't characterize my life. Well, then how do I get in on that? How do I make sure that God's Spirit has the freedom within my life to produce the things that God says He wants to produce within me? And that leads me to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and He's speaking to His disciples on the night before He was crucified, okay? And He's preparing them not just for the cross, but He's preparing them for the time when He's not going to be there anymore. So in just a few hours from this time, He's going to be arrested, He's going to be nailed to a cross, He's going to bear the sin of the world, He's going to die on that cross. 3 days later, He'll rise again, He'll be with them about 40 days after that, and then He's going to, you know, take off to heaven, right? Okay? And so what He's doing is He's preparing these disciples for when He's not going to be there. And in the previous chapter, in John chapter 14, He talks about this paraclete or this counselor, the Spirit of God that's going to come and basically take His place physically. So up until this point, Jesus has been with them physically, and anything they need, they've got Jesus right there. Now that He's gone, the Spirit is going to come, and this is going to happen on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God is going to be with them, and now everything that they need, right, they get from the Spirit of God. And so this is what Jesus is talking about here. He's preparing them for the time when He's not going to be with them. And so He says here in John 15 something very, very vital. He begins this chapter with a vital, something that absolutely we need to understand and we've got to put into practice. And so He says in verse 1, I am the true vine. And I would just underscore that word true. To say that I'm the true vine would be to imply that there are other vines that are not true. There's some people out there to say there's all different kinds of ways to get to God. There's only one true vine. There's only one way to get to God, and His name is Jesus. And that's what Jesus is underscoring here. So He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper or the master gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. And He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Now that verse right there speaks to the goal of God. So God's desire is, Jesus being the vine, us being the branches, God's desire is to produce fruit in our life. He says, if it don't produce fruit, I'm going to remove it. If it does produce fruit, I'm going to prune it. Okay? Verse 3, you already are clean. And let me just underscore that word clean. It is the same Greek word that is translated in the previous verse, prune. And so Jesus says, my Father's going to prune that vine that produces fruit or that branch that produces fruit so it'll produce more fruit. And here He says, so you are already pruned or clean. When you prune something, you clean it, you take some things away. So you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, the Lord Jesus is talking about here is the how, okay? So we know the what, we know the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, such there's no law. That's the what. Now the how. How is it that this is produced in my life, and what exactly do I need to be doing, or what do I need to be about to make sure this is taking place? So if I examine my life and these things are not present, or they're not abounding, or they're not, you know, increasing, then what do I need to do? And so I want to mention three truths here from this passage of Scripture. I'm just going to give them to you and talk to you about them in just a minute. But I want to point out, I'm going to put them in the first person. So I'm going to use the word I and me, because I want each one of us to understand that these things are applicable to us individually. So I'm not talking about everybody else. I'm talking about you, okay? I'm talking about me. And I would say, you know, that I need, you know, this preaching as much or more than anybody else. In fact, when I'm pointing my finger like this at you, and when I'm saying you need to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, I got three fingers coming back at me, okay? So we're all in this thing, and so we're going to put this in the first person as you write these things down, apply them to your own life. Here's number one. I only bear the fruit that God's Spirit produces in me. I bear the fruit that the Spirit of God produces in me. Now listen, there's a difference between production and bearing, okay? There's a difference between producing fruit and bearing fruit. Fruit is produced by the vine. Fruit is born by the branch. Or in other words, the vine produces the fruit and then he hangs it on the branch. And so Jesus says, I'm the vine, I'm going to produce this fruit. You are the branch, I'm going to take the fruit that I produce and I'm going to hang it on your life. So you as a branch are merely a display case or a display piece of the work of God, okay? So you don't produce it yourself. God produces it, and then he hangs it on your life. And I emphasize this because I think most of us, you know, are of the type that we have a tendency to think that everything depends upon me, okay? Everything depends on us. And so what I need to do is I need to try a little bit harder. Maybe I'm not trying enough. And so what happens, you know, we come into a service like this and the pastor preaches on these type of things and then we begin to feel guilty. Okay, so I look at my life and I don't have love. Okay, so I need to work a little bit harder to be more loving, right? And I don't have joy. And so, you know, I'm going to will myself to be joyful, and I don't really have peace, and so I'm just going to like chill out and have some peace, and I don't have patience. I don't know how I'm going to get that, but I'm going to try, right? And so all these things, you know, I'm not kind, I'm not gentle, I don't have any self-control, and so I'm going to work on these things, and the more I work on them, then maybe somehow, some way, I'm going to develop these things. And so what happens is we'll wake up in the morning, we say, okay, so today, love, right? So I'm going to work on love, okay? I'm going to be more loving, yeah? So, you know, I'm going to love everybody. I come in contact. So I go to work, you know, and man, I'm just loving on everybody. And then that one person, you know, comes into my office or comes into my space or whatnot. That one that, you know, knows how to push the buttons, which buttons to push. You know, the one that when I see him coming, I know, and there's just something that begins to ball up inside of me. And then this individual comes and starts pushing those buttons and then there's no love, right? And so now I feel guilty again because I said I want to have love and I'm trying to have love and I'm trying to do this, but other people aren't cooperating in this. And maybe it's a spouse that's not cooperating, maybe it's children, you know, maybe it's those other people that God puts in our life. So we're trying to produce this fruit within us and it's just not happening, and so we feel guilty. So nowhere does God say, hey, here's the fruit, you figure it out, okay? So you get this and you produce this your own. No. What he says is you're just a branch. I'm going to produce the fruit if you'll allow me to. If you'll allow the Spirit of God to work within your life, I'm going to produce the fruit, and all you're going to have to do is hang it on you. Beloved, it is a critical mistake to think that fruit production depends upon you. And think about this. There are no factories for fruit. Now, there are factories for all kinds of things. A couple of months ago, Donna and I took our grandchildren to Brenham, Texas. There is a factory, a wonderful factory in Brenham, Texas. You're laughing because you've been there. You know about it. It's called Bluebell Ice Cream Factory. And in the Bluebell Ice Cream Factory, they produce Bluebell ice cream. I don't have to produce it. You know, I really love to make homemade ice cream, but I can't make it better than Bluebell. I've decided that. So you know what I can do? I can go over to the store and buy some Bluebell, and I save myself a whole lot of work and time and all that kind of stuff just by going and buying the Bluebell that is produced in the factory. There's all kinds of factories. There's factories for cars. There's factories for televisions. There's factories for bunk beds. We've got a bunk bed factory, you know, right here in our church. I mean, you know, there's all the things are made in factories, right? There's no factory for fruit. Where does fruit come from? Fruit comes from a tree that has good soil and nutrients and water and sunlight. And when all those things are right, then you can't stop a tree from producing fruit. If it's a fruit tree and it's got these other things in place, it's going to produce fruit. And then the fruit is just going to be hanging there on the branches for you to go pick. And this is what God says. Listen, you don't have to work at being lovely. What you need to work at is just tying into me. I'm going to produce it in your life, and then I'm going to hang it on you. Beloved, I want you to understand, this is a very, very liberating thing. When these things are in place, there is a vine which is Jesus, and you as a branch are hooked into Jesus, and the life-giving nourishment of the Spirit of God flowing through the vine into the branch, the fruit is going to be produced. You won't have to work at it, or you won't have to try it, but you've got to be tapped into the vine. Let me give you an illustration of this. I saw this past week, and I thought, this kind of fits. There's a guy there's a tribe in the Amazon region of South America. It's one of those remote tribes, and you know, they didn't have running water, didn't have electricity, didn't have any of those things. You know, they just kind of hung out and did their own thing, right? Well, they started making contact with, you know, the rest of the world. And at one point, the chief of this tribe was invited to come to one of the big cities, right? And so he goes to the big city there, and he sees all kinds of wonders, things that he can't even imagine. But the thing that really blows him away is in the room that he was staying in, there was a little lever on the wall. And when you turn that lever, there was a little glass ball that hung from the ceiling, and it began to glow. And what was really cool about it for him was it lit up the night. I mean, he could throw that little lever, and man, that glass ball began to glow in the middle of the night, and he could see perfectly. Man, that was he had never seen anything like an electric light bulb. So he said, man, I got to take this back to my tribe, right? So he asks some questions, where does he get one? And so he goes down to the local hardware store. Somebody gives him some money, and he purchases a light switch, and he purchases a light bulb. And he goes back to his tribe, right? And he's showing all the things, you know, and telling all the wonders that he'd seen in the city. And they're like, whoa, sweet, you know, what's that? And he goes, yeah, see this right here? Just wait till it gets dark, right? And he takes that switch, he sticks it on the side of his hut, and he hung the light bulb, you know, from the ceiling. And then it got dark, and he got all the people over there. He said, watch this. And he flipped that switch, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Because in order for an electric light bulb to work, you got to have electricity, right? He didn't understand that to have an electric light bulb, it has to be tapped into a power source. When it's tapped into a power source, man, you flip the switch, you got all kinds of light. But when there's no power, there's no light. A lot of Christians are trying to work out fruit within their life, no power. You got to be tapped into the power source. The power source is the Spirit of God at work in the life of the child of God. And when the Spirit of God is at work in the life of the child of God, the fruit is going to be produced and hung on that branch, which is you. Okay? So the fruit is produced by Jesus. It is born by you and me. First thing, you don't produce it, God does. All you do is let it hang on your life. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is this: God prunes my life in order to make more fruit. Okay? God prunes my life in order to make more fruit. Now, remember, what is God's goal for my life? God's goal for my life, not success, fruit. Okay? Not that I be successful, but that I be fruitful. So what God's trying to do is produce the fruit of the Spirit in my life. So what happens? So I get plugged into the vine. I get saved. Man, I get plugged into Him. The Spirit of God begins to work in my life. And now love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control being produced in my life. And so then what does God do? Right? I've got the fruit of the Spirit. So now God, what does He do? Does He pat me on the back and say, hey, man, that's a good boy. You're doing good now. You got all this. Man, let's just keep that. No. That's not what God does. What does He do? I've got the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Now here, God begins to take His pruning shears out, and He begins to clip things off of my life, things that He doesn't desire to be there, things that don't need to be there, things that are inhibiting the fruit. He begins to trim my life up. He begins to prune my life. Now, what is He trying to do? Well, He's a master gardener, and the master gardener understands that if a fruitful branch is pruned, it's going to produce more fruit. If you just leave that branch to itself, pretty soon it's going to be overtaken by leaves, and the fruit is going to be reduced finally to the place where there's no fruit. And so the master gardener in love prunes the branch. Now, beloved, this is not necessarily a popular thing, because in fact, if we were to admit it, or if we were to say this pruning process is usually painful. It hurts. So when God takes His shears out and He has to begin, you know, trimming some things off my life, and sometimes, you know, I'm not going to let go of those things, and so He's got to pry them out of my hands. Sometimes He's got to knock me in the head to get these things out of my life. So He's beginning to prune my life, and it is a painful process. And beloved, this is where many Christians get tripped up. Because what happens is God does whatever it takes to prune our life. And sometimes that's a painful process, and we don't like pain, and so what do? Something painful happens to me, and I go to God, and I'd say, hey, God, take this thing away from me. So this thing that is hurtful, this thing is painful, this problem that I've got, this hard time, this illness, this disease, because after all, I have a tendency to think that God wants me to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And even if I can't be wise, I ought to be healthy and wealthy. So if anything happens to take my health away, then I'm going to go to God and say, hey, God, make me healthy again. If anything happens to take my wealth away, like I lose my job, or, you know, something bad happens, so I've got to spend a whole lot of money or whatever it is, well, I'm going to God and I'm saying, God, take this thing away from me, because, God, I know that You want me to be healthy and wealthy and maybe wise, and so God, do it. And God very often says no, because I'm doing something else in your life. It's not your success that I'm after, it's your fruit. And so I'm pruning, I'm trimming something out of your life. And I'm like, no. I don't want any pain in my life. And so I'm praying about this, and God doesn't take this thing away. Maybe I've got a thorn in the flesh or whatever it is, and He's not taking it away. And so at some point, I get frustrated with God, mad at God, upset with God. And I'm going to say, well, prayer doesn't work, obviously, because I've prayed about this and God hadn't done what I wanted Him to do, so I'm going to stop praying. And then what's the point of going to church anymore? So at this point, I'm going to drop out of church. I'm going to step away from the Word of God, from the book, And I'm going to get mad at God, upset with God, bitter at God, angry with God. In fact, some of the most bitter, angry, some of the most bitter, angry folks to be around, I mean, people you don't want to be around are people that have resisted God's people, Christian people, that have resisted the work of the Holy Spirit in their life to prune the things that God says, I'm going to take out, but that's going to make you more fruitful. It's actually for your good. Now, you might not like this process, you might not like this thing, but I'm going to do it in your life, and if you'll just trust me, because God is a loving Father, and He doesn't do anything just to hurt us. He does it to prune us, to make us more fruitful. And if instead of pulling back from God, if we press into God, but many believers at this point will pull back from God, and some of the most miserable, bitter people in this world are Christians that God has been pruning, and they said, no, I'm not having any of that. And what that's done is it shuts down the work of the Spirit. Now the fruit is gone. Love, joy, peace, none of that stuff, right? So what I want you to understand is that God prunes His people. And this is an act of love on the part of a master gardener whose desire is not just to produce fruit in your life, but more fruit. I ran across something this past week that was totally amazing. And I shared it in the first service. Somebody came up to me and said, I got an apple tree and I didn't realize this. I'm going to go do this. The apple trees produce apples, right? And if you go to like an apple orchard, if you go to places where they grow apples professionally, they've got an apple orchard, you're going to find if you look at the trunks of those trees, those apple trees have been scarred. There are cuts and gouges in the trunk and the limbs, the larger limbs of the tree. This is true. I don't quite understand this, and I'm not sure that anybody understands it, but what they've discovered is that for an apple tree, the more it's been scarred, the more apples it produces. And so the owner of the apple orchard will go along and he will injure the tree, because when he injures the tree, it produces more and better fruit. Now, I don't understand why that is, but I understand the principle is the same with your life and my life. God says, okay, I'm all about producing fruit. I'm all about you being fruitful, and whatever it takes to produce more fruit. And you know what I've noticed as I've walked through this world, that some of the sweetest, most wonderful, spirit-filled, fruit-filled Christians are those who have had the hardest time in life, those who have the deepest scars, the worst wounds. Because there are some people, some believers who understand what we're talking about here. And instead of resisting the Spirit, they just press in to the Lord Jesus. They become more firmly attached to the vine. Even when the scarring happens, even when the injuries happen. And what God does through that is He just produces more and better love, joy, peace, patience. Okay. You're going to find that some of the most joy-filled, peace-filled believers are those who have been scarred the worst by this world. That's true. God, as the master gardener, prunes the branches so that they will produce more fruit. One final thing here. And that is, in fact, wait a minute, before I go to the one final thing, let me back up. There's a beautiful example of this in Scripture. One of the most Spirit-filled, fruit-filled believers that ever lived is found in the New Testament, a guy by the name of Paul. In fact, his life was very fruitful in terms of, for the kingdom. He wrote, most of the New Testament, at least 13 books of the New Testament, maybe 14 if you count Hebrews, out of the 27 books, so half the New Testament, Paul wrote. He planted churches all over the known world at that time. He was instrumental, really, in the rise and the movement of Christianity through the Roman Empire, right? He was instrumental in turning the Roman Empire on its head for Christ. And there would be a tendency on our part to think, well, if God used Paul that way, man, he must have just paved the way for Paul so everything was smooth sailing for the Apostle Paul so he could do all those things. But you know what? When you study the book of Acts, you find the exact opposite is true. Everywhere Paul went, he found opposition. He found turmoil. He found trouble. He found pain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives his own testimony, and he says this, 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. Once I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers. In fact, in there wasn't any place he went where there wasn't some danger. Labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, often without food, cold, and lacking clothing. And we would say, man, I tell you what, God must have had it in for you. And Paul says, no. No, he said, I prayed about these things, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for in your weakness, my strength is produced. And so the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is just hanging all over this branch that had been severely scarred. Because the master gardener father prunes his branches so that they would produce more fruit. This is God's goal for your life. One final thing here. And that's this. I must remain firmly connected to Jesus Christ for my life to bear fruit. Please write that down. Please underscore that. Please receive that. I, personally, individually, I must remain firmly connected to Christ for my life to bear fruit. The Spirit produces the fruit. The Father prunes the branches. I must remain connected to Christ if I'm going to produce this fruit, if my life is going to come, and if this fruit is going to come in my life. Down in verse 5 of that 15th chapter, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. See that word nothing? Do you know what that word nothing means? It means nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so what do you got to do? He says, you got to remain in me. And that word remain means firmly connected. I've got to be firmly connected to Christ in order for my life to mean anything for God. In order for God to do anything in my life, I've got to be firmly connected to him. Now, how do I firmly connect myself to Christ? How does this work? Well, first of all, I've got to be saved. Some of us are not connected to him at all. We've been working, we've been trying. None of this stuff is working out for us. We're trying to get the fruit of the Spirit and all this stuff. But the problem is we never got connected to Christ in the first place. That is, we never admitted that we couldn't do this without him. We never came to that place to recognize that we were spiritually bankrupt and lost in our sin. We never came to the place where we repented of our sin, turned from our sin and turned to Jesus and connected into him by faith. We are saved through his grace. We haven't done that yet. And so until that happens, until you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, until you put your faith and trust in him, you are not connected to Jesus. You're not connected to the vine, and your life will never amount to anything for Christ. Never. Okay, so the first thing is you got to be connected. You got to make sure in the first place I'm connected to him. And then secondly, once I can come to the place where I can say I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I belong to him, okay, right? And so now what I want to do is I want to daily, because Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. And so every day I'm going to be walking with Jesus. And that means every day I'm going to be taking the Word of God, I'm going to be opening it up, and I'm going to be letting the Spirit of God speak to me through the Word of God. Every day I'm going to be spending time in prayer because I need to maintain that connection. And there's no connection if we're not communicating. And how do I communicate with God? Through prayer. Every day I'm going to be exercising my faith in some way. And as I walk by faith day by day, just a little bit more, He strengthens my faith because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so more faith, right? And so every day I'm connecting to Him. Every day I'm plugging into Him. Every day. This is a day by day thing. And if I miss tomorrow, I go back at it again today. Or if I miss yesterday, I get after it today. If I forget tomorrow, then the next, I'm back into it because I don't give up because it is my responsibility to tap in and plug in and hang on and maintain with Jesus. He's the vine, I'm the branches. If I'm not firmly connected to Him, then there's nothing that can happen in my life. And so, beloved, what I would say is this remaining in Jesus, this connecting to Jesus is not a passive thing. It is a very active thing. It's something that I get after day by day by day by day. And if you're not getting after it, child of God, then the Spirit of God is not going to have that ability to produce the fruit that God wants to hang on your life. Okay? Now let me just say again, this is how the Spirit produces the fruit. Okay? I tap into the vine. I'm firmly connected to Jesus, the vine. The Spirit of God is flowing through that vine into my life, and then God produces the fruit. And what's going to happen is your life is going to show that fruit. But I want to close this sermon by just making one more observation. And I want to say this to those of us who are sitting here that would say, well, Brother Greg, you know, I've been trying to tap in. I hadn't been perfect at it. Okay. But you know what? It's just not coming, man. I'm just not seeing a change. I'm not seeing the fruit. I try and try and try. I try going back to Him. I'm trying to do all these things. I'm getting in the Word and those type of things, but I'm just not seeing it yet, okay? Here's the truth I want you to get, okay? Ready? Fruit takes time. Fruit takes time. I got a lemon tree in my backyard. Got a peach tree in my backyard. You know, when I go in the spring and I'm looking for fruit, right? Because that's the time where, and I don't see anything one day, I don't come back the next day expecting to see a fully mature peach on that tree. I may come back the next day and there's still nothing there. There's still nothing there. But then one day I see a little bud. Well, the next day I come back and I'm not expecting that little bud to be a mature peach. I come back the next day and that bud's a little bit bigger and then a little bit bigger. And finally, after several months, then I'm able to pull that fruit off that tree and enjoy that peach. But fruit takes time. And I want to encourage you with this, beloved. Okay, you're not seeing the fruit in your life. Okay, you're not a fully developed, a fully mature believer. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. Don't give up. Keep going back. Keep plugging in. Keep in the Word. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep exercising your faith. Give the Spirit time to produce the fruit that God says He's going to produce in you. And there's nothing that's going to stop it. Because, see, God is still working on you. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are, you belong to Him. He says, I'm not going to give up within you. I'm going to produce fruit. Beloved, the only way to live as a child of God is fruit-filled, Spirit-filled. And my prayer is that God would make us a church of fruit-filled believers. God, would you help us today as we take the Word, receive it, and Lord, respond to it right now. God, I know that you're at work in this place. I know your Word does not return void. And so I would just pray, Lord, today that in those places where we're struggling, and maybe there's somebody here, God, maybe there's many here that would have to say no fruit because no relationship. And so, God, today, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for those. God, I pray that you would just make yourself so clear so understandable so that anybody, the veil being lifted, would be able to say, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus and be saved. Lord, let that take place in this place today. And Father, for those of us who you know, are trying, we're walking with you, plugging in, God, I pray that you would make us fruit-filled. And if we're not there yet, Lord, that you would give us the patience to wait on you. But as you just move and work, maybe there are some things today that we need to yield to your pruning hand. Maybe we need to confess some things. Maybe there are some things that we need to just lay out there for you and say, God, you go ahead and cut that thing off, because I know that that this is not your will for my life, and you want me to be fruitful. God, whatever you need to do in our lives today, as we respond to your word, I pray, God, that you would just do it. Take over right now. In Jesus' name I pray.